Yeah, it's a very aggressive mohawk. It's really tall. Really tall. I mean, I get players who do like a tiny one, like that's all right, but this guy was going all out. And if you're just going up against a guy like that, you're just kind of like, what the hell? Like, it sort of throws you off a little bit.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Intentionally Fouled podcast, where we talk about anything related to sports.
Anything, absolutely anything. And so how are we going to kick this off today?
Little small talk. How was your day?
My day was pretty dope. I did nothing, so it doesn't get any better than that.
Sounds like a good fucking day to me. Today at work, I got socks as an appreciation gift.
Oh, nice.
Socks. Not even like good ass socks. Like, they're bad, like cheap dollar store like socks.
And wait, how'd you get them?
Like, just like for team member appreciation week.
Oh, just from your like boss?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
they're so bad, and they, I don't think they're gonna even fit me.
Yeah, I don't know, like even anything else that's like the same price of socks would have probably been better, like a pencil even.
Yeah.
Couple pencils.
I mean, I got free $5, but that's not going to make a difference.
Yeah.
I mean, it's $5. All right. As we go, let's go into our first topic here. Players you should give up on. Cam, do you want to start us off either in the NFL or NBA?
Okay. So I'm going to start off with the NFL, and the player kicking this off is going to be David Johnson.
Okay.
I mean, he is a running back. He had a great season a little while back. But with running backs, their time to be so effective is very limited.
Yep.
And he started to decline last season, so it's probably going to get worse. And no matter who's handing him off the ball, it doesn't really matter. I mean, you got Kyler doing it, and then you have Deshaun.
Yeah.
Maybe he might get thrown to a little more. He can be a little effective at that. But the prime is not there anymore, and I think people are still holding on to it, especially Bill O'Brien.
Yeah.
Or else he wouldn't have made the trade.
I feel that. As I feel like Zeke, it's time to move on from Zeke.
Yeah, COVID. He's crazy because he's way too aggressive with how he plays.
Yeah. Also, a big one I think we both will agree on, Derek Carr.
Yeah, Derek Carr. I keep forgetting that he just completely shattered his leg a little bit, and he hasn't been the same since.
Yeah.
It's almost like people forget about that.
Yeah, and I mean, the Raiders added Mariota to the team. That's going to make the competition a lot stronger. I don't think that they're going to do very well with Carr as the starter.
Yeah, with the Carr starting, it's probably not going to work out too well. The best thing they could do is rest him a little bit and then have a 2QB system.
Yeah.
See how that works. Play Mariota by himself for a little bit. And if Mariota is more effective than the 2QB system, then Derek Carr is done.
Yeah, I feel that. What's another one that you got?
For NFL, Dak Prescott.
Dak Prescott.
And it's not even a matter of talent. It's just a matter of his personality towards the team, because no matter where he goes, he's going to be milking them for money.
Yep.
And if anyone's going to give you that money, it's the Cowboys. So you want to go to any other team in the league, it's not going to happen. And even on the Cowboys, it's probably not going to happen. So how can you even progress your career from that point?
Yeah, I feel that. I just don't think that's going to work out for him, like, very much.
It doesn't make him look any better by doing it.
Yeah, he definitely looks greedy in this case. Like, taking the max offer you can possibly get, and he still declines it.
Yeah, even Jerry Jones has a limit with his money, even though it may not seem like it, he does.
Another person that I feel like may have gotten too greedy, Antonio Brown.
Yeah. With him, though, I think he might just be insane.
You think so?
With Dak, I think he's just an ass.
I think the Antonio Brown is a huge PR nightmare. And I think it's time to give up on him, because he just brings in all this legal and teammate drama, like calling out his former GM and players and stuff like that. It's just not a good look.
Yeah, when he was on the Raiders for a little bit, calling everyone out, people started to hate the Raiders as a whole for even keeping him on the team. They wouldn't just say, oh, it's one guy. They'd blame the team for even putting up with it. Mm-hmm. So they had to let go.
Yeah. Another one, Josh Norman.
Yeah. People really hold on to those games versus OBJ when OBJ was at his absolute best, but Norman was also at his absolute best. Yeah. And that's far gone.
Yeah. I mean, he's on the Bills right now. Like, he just got, I think he just got released from the Redskins. And now he's in the Bills, and he's going to be like the fourth person on the depth chart for the secondary.
Right. Right.
It's just not a good look.
It's definitely not. Another guy I got is going to be Nick Foles at this point. Really? Because when he was on the Jaguars, he was supposed to be their starting guy, right? And then that didn't even work out. They had to sub Minshew over Foles. They're getting more done. And then you say, okay, Nick Foles on the Eagles, why was he so good then? But it comes down to the rush pass offense, and it doesn't really matter how good the QB is going to be in that case. You know, so if you put him with Nagy on the Bears, maybe the system could work, but it's not best suited for him. So you're not going to get what we've already seen Nick Foles do in Philadelphia. We've already seen him at his absolute best, and there's no way that he could ever do it again. Yeah. That goes back to Minshew, too, because people are hopeful that he's going to be the guy for Jacksonville, but he's too young. And I would give up on him being a starter right now. Would I give up on him being good? No, but being that guy at the moment, he needs a little more development, and they would honestly benefit from having Cam Newton starting over him if they signed him.
Really?
Yeah.
Also, related to the Bears, I think that Mitchell Trubisky is time to give up on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, that one was almost so obvious that I didn't even think about it.
I mean, he got picked before Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. And yet, he is by far the worst out of those three.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how the Bears even were thinking during that time, because even Watson and Mahomes, those two guys went to top-tier football schools. Texas Tech is in the Big 12, great conference. Watson won championships with Clemson in a great conference. And then you have Trubisky at UNC, who's just never had a good football history in recent memory.
Well, I mean, UNC is in the same football conference as Watson, but if I remember this correctly, I believe the Clemson Tigers destroyed the Tar Heels that game that they faced.
Yeah, like that part doesn't make sense either, because the two teams do play each other, and then even in those games, you can see who the better quarterback is, but they just didn't even care.
Yeah. I also think that Trubisky didn't do enough. So the Bears' defense is amazing.
Yeah.
They took him to the playoffs, and Trubisky was just a game manager at that point. He wasn't like the leader that you expect, you know, like the Mahomes, the Watsons, whatever. But now he's in this case where the D can only do so much. Mm. So he has to also give his side of the coin and help the team out. And I don't think this year he's going to do that. I think this year for the Bears, it's going to be pretty bad.
It's going to be really bad if they can't do anything with at the QB position, because the rest of the team just needs that right now. And they're in such a good conference, too.
Yeah, I feel that. Okay, you want to switch it over to the NBA?
Yeah, for the NBA, I'm going to have to start this off with Isaiah Thomas.
Yep.
Because ever since that injury, he's never been the same. I used to think he was being misused, but after being used on so many different teams since then, like the Nuggets and the Cavs, it's just not even a matter of player management at that point. Yeah. And he did have that outlier season where he finished fourth in MVP voting, but to be fair, that team did have a lot of good pieces on it and a great coach in Brad Stevens. So outlier seasons happen, and it's nothing to really hold on. I'm glad it happened for him, but it's not really going to be a factor if anyone wants to analyze his potential nowadays.
Yeah. Also, with that hip injury, he tried to just heal it naturally, and it took two full years to recover. It just took 2 years off of his prime, like the Cavs years and the Nuggets years. they're just gone. Like, he could have been really well. I believe he was up for an extension after that outlier season, but then that happened, and yeah, it was just not good for him.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to see it because it happens to some of the most likable players, and I really did like Isaiah Thomas at his peak, but just got to move on for now.
Yeah, also, I feel like Nerlens Noel, it's time to give up on him. He's battled injuries his entire career. He was supposed to get an extension with the Mavs, super high money value, and he just said no. And then the best contract that he could get was like four years, like $8 million. And he's just been battling injuries his entire career.
Right. He's very injury prone, and I've never seen a player recently. Okay, when he got drafted, he had a lot of hype. A lot of people, he was going to be the next great guy coming out. And the expectations are so underwhelming that it's shocking. I could see him being like decent, and people say, okay, that's not so bad. But it's just so far from what we expected after seeing him in college.
Yeah. And I think he has a good defensive game, don't get me wrong, but his offensive game just isn't there.
Yeah. Yeah, he's really just a body out on the court so they can, you know, play a game, some people in.
What other players you got over there?
Gonna have to say DeMarcus Cousins.
Really?
He's been declining so fast ever since he went to the Warriors, because everyone thought that the Warriors move was going to be the game changer. It was just going to seal the deal for them. But I examined it, and not that many teams were even offering them that much money because, I mean, he's got a horrible attitude, and he was slowly regressing before that. But every team that didn't even bother, they dodged a bullet, because now he's just falling off even harder.
Yeah, I feel that. Also, another like former Laker, Brandon Ingram.
Yeah.
There's nothing that I have to make him like seem bad except for just how I visualize his game.
Right.
There's no stats, no nothing on this opinion, but I just feel like it's time to move on from Ingram.
With Ingram, we could be seeing someone just have a spurt by going to a team where he gets more usage, but even with Zion joining the team, his usage is going to go down. So we've already seen his best performances this season. They're not going to get any better. With the future, I'm not really sure where it's going to go. People say he could be the next KD type of player. He's very lengthy, very mobile, athletic. But it's too early to just say he's going to be that guy, too. So I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
And with my last player on here is going to be Emmanuel Mudiay, because he had a lot of hype coming out for the draft, but a lot of his stats were from when he played overseas in a much less competitive, against much less competitive competition. So that's going to inflate your stats a little bit. Then you examine his career since he has been in the league, pretty underwhelming numbers. I remember he went to the Knicks last year and he had amazing numbers there, but you got to think that Knicks roster literally had nothing. So your usage is going to go up regardless. Your stats are going to go up regardless. And it's not really going to work anywhere else because, I mean, how much worse can you go than the Knicks?
Yeah, that's true. Another player that had a lot of hype going into the draft, Dante Exum. Apparently, from reports that I've read, he like didn't want to do shooting drills when he was working out for NBA teams. That right there should be a red flag.
Right. And he was an Australian player too. And he wasn't really playing against NCAA talent. And don't get me wrong, Australia's got great competition. There are a lot of really good Australian players in the league. But it wasn't enough to convince me that he was going to be as good as people were saying.
Yeah, I don't think he'll ever live up to the hype that was supposed to be for him at the draft.
Yeah, I don't see him getting any better. And I don't think that his career is looking so hot in the near future.
Yeah. All right. We're going to move on to our next topic here. Best and worst haircuts in the NBA.
All right. You want to start this one off?
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to start with best. Ray Allen's bald head. Technically, that is a haircut because he has been growing it out recently. That hair, or that top of his head, is so shiny.
Yeah, with his grown out hair, you kind of look at bald people and you're like, okay, how bad do you need to be bald? And with him, being bald is by far the best option. And plus, the way he made himself bald is just better than any other bald person. Yeah. Can't really explain it, but just looks shinier.
Yeah, it's better than like Shaq being bald. Right. Like Shaq's baldness is really good, don't get me wrong, but I don't think it's up to the level that Ray Allen is.
Oh, no.
For some reason. I don't know. I just can't put my finger on it.
Yeah. It's you think of Ray Allen and you just kind of think bald too at the same time. You think of a 3-point shot, but you also just think of like a really shiny head.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah. So I'm going to go with another best one.
Okay.
It's going to be the Kawhi Leonard cornrows, because we've never seen him without those cornrows. And I think they might actually give him superpowers if he ever got rid of them.
You think so?
He's never played without him. And it's just very clean, too. They're really well done cornrows.
Yeah, I feel that. Related to cornrows, Tyler Hero's new quarantine haircut. That, don't get me wrong, if it wasn't Tyler Hero, it would be really sick. But because it's Tyler Hero, it just gives this weird vibe.
It's really weird because he just entered the league too. Maybe after a while, you could kind of like get a little more tough guy, like credibility, like I'm the shit, I can rock this type of haircut. Because people who have that haircut, like Westbrook and like Gerald Green, you know, they're like very hard-headed competitive guys, and we haven't seen enough from Hero yet to really be like, yeah, I can rock this type of hair.
Yeah, I think because of all the criticism that he was getting, I think he actually undid the cornrows.
Yeah, he got cyberbullied into getting rid of them.
Yeah.
Unreal. But for next best hair, I'm going to have to go with Gordon Hayward, because it looks like something you'd see out of GQ.
Which Gordon Hayward, like coming in as a Jazz or like Celtics Gordon Hayward?
Oh, no, I can't give him the Justin Bieber haircut credit. It's got to be that point on the Jazz where he said, oh, shit, I'm actually pretty good at basketball. I think I can kind of show off now. So with his newly acquired NBA money, he spent half of it on hair products to make it look as good as it is today.
Speaking of hair products, Chris Anderson's mohawk. That's another good one right there. When in his prime, when Anderson was on the Heat, that mohawk was top notch. Probably the best mohawk I've ever seen. Better than like Johnny Napalm on Guitar Hero, or like any Guitar Hero person that you can possibly think of, or a rock band. This haircut was better than all of them.
Yeah, it's a very aggressive mohawk. It's really tall.
Yeah.
Really tall. I mean, I get players who do like a tiny one, like that's all right. But this guy was going all out. And if you're just going up against a guy like that, you're just kind of like, what the hell? Like, it sort of throws you off a little bit.
Yeah.
Can't really explain it, but it's a very good haircut for sure.
Yeah.
So next, I'm going to go with two players because it's the same thing for both of them.
Okay.
Kyrie Irving and Paul George. They both have the best hairlines. Okay. In the NBA, they have had the perfect length of their hair and hairline for so long. It's not going anywhere anytime soon, and people would kill to have their genetics.
Yeah, I definitely feel that. Like, the hairline is probably super fine, and it's undeniably amazing.
Yeah, it just looks perfect. All very nice to look at.
Speaking of perfect hair, Larry Bird's hair.
Yeah.
It's so majestic.
The mullet with the stash combo. It doesn't get any better.
It's honestly a perfect combination.
For my last one, this is going to be a little reach, because if you want to talk hair, you could say facial hair. I'm going to go with Harden, because with a giant beard, you can still look pretty badass.
Yeah. I think he looks better with the beard than he did at ASU without the beard.
Yeah, I didn't even appreciate how great the beard was until I saw that picture.
Yeah. Do you have any worst haircuts?
Yeah, for worst haircuts. This one's going to be obvious. LeBron James. And I think his hair looks fine now. But if you see what he had to do to get his hair where it is now, you have to spend a lot of money to have artificial hair.
Hair plugs.
Even with the artificial hair, I've seen his hair literally start falling out mid-game sometimes.
What?
Yeah. Like, he'll be adjusting it, and then, like, a little clump will, like, move around. So you just got to be really careful with it.
I've never seen that.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Another bad one. Have you ever seen Jason Kidd with blonde hair?
Oh, that was, I don't know why he did that.
It was when he was on the Phoenix Suns, like, in his early years. And he just looks like a Backstreet Boy.
It's the 90s. People were doing weird stuff. We're doing pretty weird stuff now, too. But, yeah, I'm glad that he only had that for a few years.
Yeah.
For more worst hair, gonna have to go with Elfrid Payton, because he's got that weekend hair, the old weekend hair. But he's not doing it the best way. If you look at Lonnie Walker, he had the same type of hair. Lonnie Walker recently got rid of it, but his stood up at least. It's not going to get in your face. I feel like Elfrid Payton's hair might actually be a handicap.
I definitely feel that. And Lonnie Walker got his hair, like, meant a lot to him.
Right.
And it had a sentimental feeling to him. And I don't know if Elfrid Payton's does or not, but yeah, I definitely feel that. Lonnie Walker pulled off the weekend haircut better than Elfrid Payton does.
Right. I think it's a great haircut. Just if you have someone doing it better than you, then, you know, get better.
Yeah. Another bad one that I have is Aaron Baines. Have you ever seen his ponytail?
Yeah. I really don't like ponytail man bun type of haircuts.
And this one, he literally shaved past where you would normally fade your hair. And he just has, like, a little line in the middle of his hair, and then he somehow put it in a ponytail.
I don't know. I mean, he's playing the best basketball of his career ever since he got that haircut, so maybe that's his quote-unquote superpowers, but I cannot stand looking at that.
I guess so. Do you have any more?
Yeah. Back to the whole, like, cornrows, Tyler Hero type haircut. I mentioned Westbrook. I don't like how he has two of them just, like, going down his forehead, because they look like little antennas, you know. And plus, he looked way better with a previous haircut too on the Thunder, so why would you change it? I think if you go to a worst haircut, then your judgment as a player and hairstyle is probably not that great.
Yeah, I feel like Russell's haircut, I feel like at the beginning of his career, that's his best haircut, just like the buzz cut.
Yeah. Just the more complex he got as a player to analyze, the more complex his hair is to analyze, I'd say. It's a weird correlation.
Do you have any more worse haircuts before we move on to the next segment?
So I'm going to do a little reach with this one. I know I did a reach with Harden and his facial hair, but I got to go with Anthony Davis and the eyebrows. Mm. At least with a unibrow, with a unibrow, it's going to look goofy and marketable, but it's not going to be cool at all, because you never see people willingly just growing out unibrows. With Harden, you could say that's goofy and marketable, but a lot of people do that too.
Yeah, I actually think that the unibrow looks good on him for some reason. And I don't think unibrows ever look good except for that one time, and that's on Anthony Davis's head.
Right. I think that he's doing it better than anyone else, but the unibrow is just so bad that I can't even defend that. But he's lucky that it does look that good.
Yeah. All right. You ready to go on to the next segment?
Yeah. I got all the hair opinions out of the way for now, so I'm ready to talk about something else.
All right. Our last segment is we're going to talk about who would be the best fighter. And we don't include boxing people or UFC fighters.
Right, because recently we've seen Greg Hardy kind of do his thing in the UFC, and I'm thinking, okay, if NFL guys are going to be able to do that type of stuff, there must be some good talent out there.
Yep. First one I think is pretty obvious, Ron Artest.
That was actually the first one coming to my mind.
I mean, he's got two instances that I can remember. He's got the Malice at the Palace, you know, fighting fans and shit. And then recently, before he retired, he elbowed James Harden.
Yeah, it's pretty out there for him. I get people who play aggressive and then do just really aggressive things off the court too, like fighting a fan or elbowing someone is pretty bad, but I've never seen someone get elbowed that bad.
Yeah, and he made it look like it was an accident, but it clearly was not an accident.
Yeah, I don't really know what goes through his head. He seems like a nice guy, too, in interviews. But when it comes to just fans heckling him or just competition. I guess he doesn't care.
Yeah, I think it gets to him way too easily.
That's probably why. So related to fighting fans, I had Vernon Maxwell from the old school Rockets because he also went into the stands and punched a fan. But it didn't get evolve into a huge fight or like a giant fight like at the Palace. It was just like a little instance. But still, if you're going to go out of the game, walk up and punch a fan in the face, then you probably could fight anyone you wanted to.
Yeah, I think that he could kick some ass.
Yeah.
Another person that could kick some ass, Myles Garrett. I think this one is pretty obvious because he recently just got suspended. And I think he's back now, right?
Yeah, he is fortunate enough to be so talented that it's going to keep him on the market.
If you don't know Myles Garrett, he's the guy who took Mason Rudolph's helmet. He took it off and he hit him with his own helmet in the middle of a Thursday night football game.
Right. The game was everywhere. Everyone was watching it. I remember I was watching it because I was pretty bored that night, and I actually shut it off a little bit before it happened because I was like, okay, the game is over. It doesn't matter. But even with the game already being decided at that point, he didn't care. He just did it anyway.
Yeah, I think it happened with, like, what, 30 seconds left or something?
Yeah, it was right before it ended, so Myles Garrett for sure. Next one I got to put on here is Rondo because of what we saw with him and CP3. I'm saying Rondo, if you put him out there on his own, he's going to be scrappy because he spit on CP3 too. If you're going to spit on someone and then try punching them, you're going to be scrappy. You're going to hold your own in the fight.
Yeah, I think because he's short, he has that complex where he wants to beat someone's ass.
Oh, yeah, that could very well get to him.
I think Andre Johnson could fight. Remember when Andre Johnson and Cortland Finnegan got into a fight? I think both of those could fight, but Andre Johnson would be better.
I'd agree with that. Andre Johnson has just been holding it back a lot until that point. You know, he did a really good job of controlling himself until that fight. And when we all saw what could happen, we're like, okay, this guy's kind of the real deal.
Yeah, I think Cortland Finnegan didn't know what he was getting himself into.
Right. Yeah, I don't think he did either after that happened because he kind of got up from it. He was like, oh, I clearly made a mistake. We all remember the punch on Jose Bautista in the MLB a few years back with the Blue Jays. And
wasn't it Jose Aldo?
Oh, it was an order, yeah, on the Rangers. And if you look at the photo of the punch, it connected so clearly that I got to give him credit for precision there.
Yeah. I think that photo is actually, there's a bar that Cam and I both go to, and there's a photo of that punch at the bar.
Yeah. People from Texas love it.
Yeah, it's like one of their pridest moments ever in sports history.
Yeah, it's a very iconic photo, I'll give it that, because people still talk about it today. For hockey, I gotta say there are some legendary fighters, and I mean, if you play hockey, fighting is a part of the game. They won't stop it to have people fight at times. So a few names that come to mind, you got Gordie Howe, Bobby Orr, legendary guys like that. Current players, Zdeno Chara, if you just look at his frame, he's 6'9", he's 225, and he's not known for being that dirty, but his size alone just gives him such an advantage that he wouldn't be bad.
Yeah, I feel like he would kick ass. I mean, I know he would kick ass. I've seen it. And then Clutterbuck, he used to play for the Minnesota Wild. I'm not aware of what team he is on now, but both of those guys could kick anyone's ass in the league.
Right. So it's glad to see that. I don't really encourage fighting all the time, but having it happen a little bit, it's fun to talk about.
Yeah. Do you remember when Pedro Martinez got into a fight?
Yeah. No, that's a throwback. Right?
That's another one. I believe it was in the playoffs. The Red Sox were playing the Yankees, and Pedro Martinez, who was a pitcher, he punched Don Zimmer, a 72-year-old coach on the Yankees, and he punched him so hard. The photos and like the videos, you guys will have to watch them for yourself, but like, it is funny as hell to watch.
Yeah, that's kind of nuts that he would actually even attempt that or even think about it to begin with, but actually going through with it, okay, you're going to fight anyone.
And I think he goes out of his way. Like, there's a brawl in the middle of the field, and he, like, runs away and tries to find Don Zimmer and punch him in the face.
He was on a mission that day.
Yeah, I don't remember what happened that caused him to want to punch him, but whatever it was, it seemed to be enough.
Right. I miss that.
Do you have any more fighters that you think would be...
I can't really say that I do. I mean, you got people in the league who are aggressive across all sports, but these guys really just go out of their way so hard to, you know, land a punch, and I can't really think of too many more.
Yeah, I feel that. Well, that's all the time we have for the podcast. Thank you for listening. Subscribe to our podcast on whatever platform you are listening to us on. Check out our Patreon for early and bonus episodes. We really appreciate the support. We're actually recording these on Guitar Hero mics, so anything would help. Go follow us on all our social medias, Instagram at Intentionally Follow. Look us up on Facebook at Intentionally Follow. This has been an Intentionally Follow podcast. Bye.
Later, y'all.